Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We are going to try something a little bit different today. Now, I asked you guys if you wanted this person to be a guest. We got an email from AEW. They were offering up Powerhouse Hobbs. Now, I am unaware of Powerhouse Hobbs. No disrespect to the man, but I just don't watch wrestling. We have invited him in studio. He's going to be in studio here coming up in 30 minutes. So we're going to do a little Ask Us Anything. We're going to take a nostalgic trip down memory lane. I heard he is a large human being. So there's a lot that I want to know from Powerhouse Hobbs. He's going to be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. They have an event coming up tomorrow night at Silverstein Eye Center Arena. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Joshua Briscoe, a man who seems like he has spent plenty of Wednesdays and Thursdays watching wrestling, he is going to be on the show today as well. We got a lot to get into. I actually do need you guys help with something. You know that we have the barbecue chicken alert, and every year we give out the barbecue chicken alert to a corner who is worthy. Sometimes it might be a safety, but usually it's a corner who is worthy, and we call them barbecue chicken. I'm trying to figure out a new name for Chiefs crybaby of the week. And it's not somebody on the Chiefs. It's somebody who usually cries because the Chiefs won. I mean, this might be the Craig Carton Award because he is going for Hall of Fame first ballot. I mean, he's the Joe Montana of Chiefs crybabies. I need you guys' help to come up with a clever name for that. We got a lot to do in today's show. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here taking you up until 6 o'clock. We got Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW. He is set to join us in studio coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Before we get to the dealings of the day, you know what I need? I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you to listen to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, if you tell two, it would be great, but I need one friend to check out the show. And number three, and this might be the most important, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So if you're looking for a place to watch a little college football, a little pro football, the baseball playoffs are currently going on right now, college basketball season is right around the corner, this is an exciting time in the sports calendar, then look no further than our friends over at The Other Place. Stop by, watch a little sports, get something to eat, grab a drink, have a good time with your friends and family. Please go check out our friends over at The Other Place. I feel like we need to hit the breaking news sounder because the MVP race is starting to take shape a little bit. Josh Allen was the favorite heading into Monday Night Football. The Buffalo Bills laid a gigantic egg yesterday in Atlanta. Josh Allen is now no longer the favorite to win NFL MVP. Yes, you guessed it. Patrick Mahomes, who will be on the show tomorrow at 3:15, is now the current favorite for NFL MVP. Well, I've got a major question about this. Is there going to be voter fatigue that sets in with Patrick Mahomes? Because we've seen this before. I think we saw it last year when it came to Lamar Jackson, that people were just quite simply tired of voting for Lamar Jackson to win NFL MVP, so they gave it to somebody else. Patrick Mahomes, who has already won two of these awards, could we see a scenario where Mahomes is probably deserving of winning MVP? He is widely considered to be the best player in the National Football League, but they have made the decision to give it to somebody else. The player that I would be most worried about in this conversation would be Baker Mayfield. This is my fear in the MVP conversation. My fear would be Baker's never won it before. Baker also very, very popular with fans and the media. So to me, it feels like if it's close between those two individuals, they are going to give the award to Baker Mayfield. And that's certainly no knock on the season that Baker is putting together. Baker's completing 66% of his passes. He has 12 touchdowns, one interception, and you could argue that Tampa Bay is the best team in the NFC. So if Baker goes out there and wins the award, he certainly will be deserving if that's the case. But it does feel like if there is a tie, if it's close, I do think that Baker is going to have the advantage in the eyes of the public of wanting to give it to somebody else, in the media who just wants a new story. And if you want to talk about the redemption arc for Baker Mayfield, it felt like Baker was potentially on his way out of the league 3 years ago. Baker got let go by the Cleveland Browns. He went to the Carolina Panthers, failed miserably with the Carolina Panthers, then went to go be a backup for the Los Angeles Rams. Remember, he got that start on short notice. He actually played really well, and I feel like that was a spark. He goes to Tampa Bay, right team, right situation. Baker Mayfield has completely turned his career around and looks like the guy that was worthy of having the number one overall pick. But I wonder, with Mahomes' popularity, with him winning it a couple of times, if the argument is going to be, let's go for the new storyline, let's go for the fresh face, at least when we're talking about MVP, and just the better story of it all. Baker would be one of the best stories that we've seen for NFL MVP if he ends up winning the award. Obviously, a long way to go, and I understand that the Chiefs are searching for something a lot bigger than personal accolades, but it's always really good to get him. I use the argument that Patrick Mahomes is at the LeBron stage of his career. The only thing that matters for LeBron at this stage in his career is, did you win MVP? Did your team make the championship? Did your team win the championship? These are the legacy building things that you rack up over being a great player. That's where I think we are with Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, I want to get your take on this as we open up the show, and we got Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW set to join us coming up in about 20, 25 minutes or so. We're not really a power ranking show. I mean, I get why people like power rankings. We just love lists. We love rankings. We love to argue and debate them. So I'm not here to poke holes in the power ranking. The beauty of the National Football League is eventually everybody has to play everybody. It's not like college football. So I don't really see the point for a list other than for us to argue. And I'm always here for us to argue. I think that you today, and maybe what could be the first time in power ranking history, could argue that the best team in the league is 500 through the first 6 weeks of the season. Maybe you put somebody else atop your power ranking. Maybe you think it's still Buffalo. Maybe you think it's Detroit. Maybe you think it's Tampa Bay. Whomever you think is the best team currently in the National Football League, the Kansas City Chiefs are firmly in that conversation right now. With the way that their offense has played the last couple of weeks, with the way that their defense just played against the Detroit Lions, with them getting Rashee Rice back healthy, you could absolutely argue that right now Kansas City is the best team in the AFC and the best team in football. The crazy argument of it is, if the playoffs started today, and obviously it doesn't, the Chiefs wouldn't be in the playoffs. Just think about that. That is how random and that is how weird this season is starting off in the National Football League. That many of us look at the Chiefs as one of the true contenders, one of the best teams in the AFC, one of the best teams in the National Football League. Right now, they're not one of the top seven teams in the conference. But I give the Chiefs a lot of credit for what they've done so far through the first 6 weeks of the season. They manage the injuries. They manage the newness of the offensive line. They now appear to come out on the other side of it. You're at 3-3, and now it's time to go to work. everything that the Chiefs want to accomplish is still directly in front of them. If you look at the teams that are ahead of Kansas City, and obviously it's early, you play Indianapolis, you got a home game against the Los Angeles Chargers, you play Buffalo, you still have two games against the Denver Broncos, and everybody is so jumbled up right now. There are eight teams right now in the AFC that are 500 or better. Obviously, Kansas City is one of those teams. If you go to the NFC, there are 12 teams in the NFC that are 500 or better. So the league really stresses and promotes parity. I don't know if you could have much more parity than it feels like we have right now in the National Football League. There are about five teams, maybe five to eight teams, that are just bad football teams. Miami, Cleveland, Tennessee, the Jets. I think you can throw Baltimore in that category. That's not a good football team. The Saints aren't very good. There's about six to eight teams that are not good, and everybody else feels like it's very, very interchangeable. Whether it's a team like Carolina right now that's 500, whether it's the Chicago Bears who had a nice win on Monday Night Football, whether it's the Denver Broncos, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Kansas City Chiefs, it feels like once you eliminate the bottom half of the league that are either looking for a quarterback, just got their quarterback, fired their coach, about to fire their coach, the rest of the league right now feels more interchangeable than it ever has been before, which is going to make for a very fun fall and winter as we start to sort this thing out and start to find out who the contenders and the pretenders are in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk more about Buffalo that lost on Monday Night Football to the Atlanta Falcons. We're also going to be joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW set to join us on the show coming up in about 15 minutes or so. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Tuesday. Rob, the text line has brought to my attention a segment that we did last week. So I asked you how many good teams there are in the National Football League. You didn't put a lot of teams into the circle. In fact, you only put one team from the AFC in this conversation, and that team was the Buffalo Bills. Now, to your credit, you put a lot of teams in the I don't know category. Well, I'm looking at it right now. There's a lot of teams in the I don't know category, and I'm not really sure if I can put Buffalo in the good category. Really quickly, let's go through the wins so far for the Buffalo Bills. Now, I know I'm going to contradict myself a little bit because I said it's not fair to play the schedule game. Maybe we can play the schedule game with the Buffalo Bills. Now, I'm still going to give them credit for the Baltimore win. It was the first win of the season. Everybody was healthy and available, and that was a good game. Baltimore had a lead heading into the fourth quarter, and Buffalo won that game. Now, I know how the season has turned for the Baltimore Ravens, but week one, that was a good win. We can have enough hindsight to at least give Buffalo credit for that. Since then, the Jets, Dolphins, Saints. I mean, that's it. And then when you've played two teams that have a pulse, you lost both of those games. New England has a pulse. Now, I'm not sure if New England's good, but I do know New England has a pulse. They lost that game. They then went on the road and played the Atlanta Falcons. Now, another team. I'm not sure how good Atlanta is, but another team with a pulse. They lost that game. They go on the road and play Carolina next week. You can laugh if you want to about Carolina, but Carolina, especially at home, have shown that they have a pulse and that they can be a good team, and then they play Kansas City coming up. So the Bills only have one more game between now and the game against the Chiefs. They have a bye week coming up, and then they play Carolina on the road, which, again, Carolina has shown that they are no pushover. They are no cupcake at home. Where are you at now with Buffalo? Do you not have any team right now in your good category in the AFC? Is everybody right now in the I don't know category? I had seven teams in my good category. You only had one team. We saw them lose again on Monday Night Football. Where are you at right now in the AFC?
The Buffalo Bills have fallen into the I don't know category. And these things are ever changing. Like, I don't want to in 3 weeks people
it's
like,
fluid. Yeah, of course. It's fluid.
You know how the text line is in 3 weeks. Oh, you had the Chiefs in the I don't know category. Well, yeah, they were 2-3 at the time. I didn't know.
That's I'm on your side.
So Buffalo has fallen into the I don't know category because you're right. You are contradicting yourself. I'm happy you see it. I don't have to bring it up. The schedule game is not favorable to Buffalo. It just isn't. And now they're starting to play some better teams and they are starting to take on a little more water. Their defense is problematic, but having said all those things, I still think they're a playoff team, but I don't know they're Super Bowl good. And I don't know right now, as we currently sit, heading into week 7 of the NFL season, that anyone is undoubtedly Super Bowl good. I think you can make the case that, as you said perfectly, not all 32 teams, but like 22 teams in the NFL are in the I don't know, and the other 10 are in the they're trash category. Like, I don't need to see any more football this year from the Titans. I know. It's over. Saints, I'm sorry. Your season is over. Welcome to the Nussmeier campaign. Like, the Raiders, congratulations. You're terrible. Like, I know what those teams are. I think everyone else is an I don't know, because even the Chiefs, and maybe this is hating by me, outside of the Lions win, and that was against a banged-up Lions team. We played a scheduled game with them. You beat the Giants and Ravens. Like, I think you're good. I think you're one of the better teams in the NFL, but it's at week 6, I don't know. The Bills fall into that same category.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's just kind of the state of where we are right now in the National Football League. It just feels like right now parity certainly reigns supreme, that there's a lot of very good and very competitive teams, and we obviously have a lot of time to try to figure out. I think you'll see teams really try to separate themselves at the trade deadline. We still got a couple of weeks till we get there. That's November 4th. The league agreed to push it back to give teams more times, but I don't know how active the market is going to be, at least from a seller perspective, because there's not a lot of teams that I think are going to be eliminated at that point. I don't know if there's going to be a team that kind of separates. It feels like, to use a video game analogy, it's going to be that rubber band effect to keep the game close, to give you a chance. That's kind of what it feels like right now in the NFL. Maybe this is going to be considered a hot take, but it is something that I feel very strongly about. If Buffalo doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, we got to start having a very serious conversation about their window closing. Everything is right in front of Buffalo to be the one seed this year in the AFC and finally get over the hump and be Kansas City and or Baltimore and go to a championship. The Ravens are down. The Bengals are down. Who's the biggest contender outside of Kansas City, would you say, to Buffalo is this season? Indianapolis? Jacksonville? Pittsburgh? If Buffalo doesn't win the championship this season, and you look back at the schedule that they will have had squandered, where you played the Jets twice, the Dolphins twice, Houston, Carolina, Cincinnati, Cleveland, when the schedule gods gave you the most layup-y thing we're talking about, when they gave you an AFC that feels like it is diminished, especially when you hold it up against the light against the NFC. The NFC is a much stronger top to bottom conference than the AFC is. Now, we'll see how strong Kansas City can get. We'll see if Buffalo can kind of find their way again. There's a lot of things that obviously still have to happen as the season is progressing. But if Buffalo doesn't capitalize and they don't win this championship this season, they will have potentially squandered yet another major chance. And we got to start having some conversations about, do the pieces there work the way that they need to get you over the hump? I still think Buffalo is a good team. Them losing on Monday Night Football on the road does not sway me from them being a good team. But everything was lined up this season for you to have a special year. The AFC feels like it's a little bit weaker. The strength isn't at the top. There's more injuries at quarterback this year in the AFC, so there's fewer great quarterbacks. The schedule was built in your favor. Kansas City got off to a slow start. Like, Buffalo should be 3 games up on Kansas City in theory, at least 2 with the home game coming up against them, so you could really potentially bury them. You've left the door open for the Chiefs. Think about everything the Chiefs had to deal with in the first 6 weeks of the season. Their left tackle just didn't show up for a game, and we don't really have an answer on why he wasn't there. Their number one wide receiver was gone. They haven't been able to run the football consistently. At least they couldn't for the first 3-4 weeks of the season. Like, it wasn't like things were perfect in Kansas City, but as what has been a theme for Buffalo over the last 3-4 years, they can just never take advantage of the state of the AFC. I'm telling you, if they squander this thing and they got to go on the road to Kansas City, or they got to go on the road to Indianapolis, or on the road to Pittsburgh in the playoffs, they will have nobody to blame but themselves. There is no reason for Buffalo not to close this thing out, not to finish this thing out, and not to be considered the best team in the AFC. It was right there for them to accomplish. We got Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW joining the show in about 5 minutes or so. I want to play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say. I feel like right now the big question, aside from Rashee Rice, which feels very straightforward, he's going to practice tomorrow and he's coming back to the team, it's around Josh Simmons and not really knowing where Josh Simmons is right now. Of course, my computer would just start to malfunction as I was about to play some audio. Here's Nate Taylor of ESPN talking about Josh Simmons and where he is right now is a bit of a mystery.
Where he went through the entire pregame warm-up and he didn't feel right. And I don't know if that was like, hey, you ate something or because of the heat, because it was very hot that night. And like, hey, for whatever reason, like, you're just not feeling great. Okay, put him down as questionable for illness, even though the game hasn't even started. Played the game, played really, really well. I don't think he talked to many reporters because, again, you kind of know the situation. Dude not feeling good. So I know I didn't talk to him after the game in Jacksonville. And then we have this situation. And again, I'm trying to be reasonable, trying to be respectful. Like, would I be surprised if he doesn't play on Sunday? Would I be surprised if he's not with the team all week? I mean, at this point, I guess no. But it does make this perhaps a bit more mysterious, a bit more strange and odd, unusual is a word I've been hearing a lot in talking to people in and around, you know, the team and the league.
Yeah, something feels off about this. I understand it's a personal issue, so you can only prize so much. And you are certainly afforded a level of privacy that comes with a personal issue. But this just doesn't sound like a normal personal issue. Like, this doesn't sound like, at least behind closed doors, the people that know, this is the death in the family. You know? Like, I don't know if there'd be a lot of mystery behind it. Or I don't know if people would be using these terms to describe it. It doesn't sound like he just had a kid recently either. You agree? At least the terms and the, like, crowded in mystery. When Chris Jones was gone, it wasn't crowded in mystery. Hey, Chris Jones, he was back in Mississippi. His aunt died. He's going to play in the game. Now, I guess he didn't have to tell us that. No one's saying you got to tell us those kind of things, but it was a pretty clear A and B. And if Chris Jones decided, hey, I don't feel up to it, I'm not going to play, I think everybody would have respected that. That's just not what it feels like with Josh Simmons. I don't know what it is. I'm not here to speculate what it is, but just the tone that they are using and how it has been addressed, it just doesn't feel like either it's a death in the family, something very private that you are dealing with, that I feel like somebody from the Chiefs would try to put out the fire so there wouldn't be a mystery about it. Hey, Josh is dealing with some family stuff right now. We'll let you know at a later date what's going on. It just doesn't feel like it's a kid. It doesn't feel like it's one of those kind of situations. I don't know what it is, but this just feels like a very different absence than I think you're used to in the middle of a football season.
It does feel weird. Now, I will put the major caveat, and you've already said this, we will eventually find out. That's how reporting works, the NFL works, Nate Taylor eventually, or Adam Schefter, Ian Rapoport, someone's going to find out, we're going to, you know, get the alert, and then we can all handle the news, whatever it may be at that time. But so far, it's felt odd, from Andy's comments in postgame, to his non-answer of Nate Taylor's question yesterday during the media availability, to he didn't really give a timetable for when Josh Simmons will return. You haven't seen a Schefter or Rapoport say, you know, he'll be back in the facility on Wednesday. You really haven't seen anything. He's just kind of MIA right now. So it's odd. I don't want to speculate about it, but I think one reason why fans aren't more perplexed by his lack of knowledge of where he is and what's the situation,
because they have a replacement for
Jalen. If Jalen Moore was bad, for this sure would be the big story. But 100%. Jalen Moore, not only was we talking about yesterday, not only was Jalen Moore good, he was great on Sunday. And I think that kind of squelches fans' interest in the knowledge. But there's a perplexity around this, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think that there is a tone from fans, hurry back, we need you. where I think that would be the case. I think it would be the case if that was the context of it. I think that would be it. If you're right, if it was last year and their left tackle just wasn't there and they didn't really have a replacement, I think people would kind of be on edge about it. Hey, where's Josh Simmons? Where is he coming back? The fact that they do have Jalen Moore and you feel comfortable if you got to carry this thing for a week or possibly longer. Again, it's uncertain. I have no clue where Josh Simmons is or when he could potentially be coming back. But the fact that they seem to be fine on the offensive line, I think tells us something. I do think this. Are we 100% certain if this turns out to be an extended absence, if he automatically gets his job back? You haven't been practicing and you haven't been playing. Let's say that he doesn't practice or doesn't play this week against the Raiders. So now we're talking about you have missed two games. If Jalen Moore plays really well, you have been practicing, you have been there. Are we 100% certain that they're just automatically giving the job right back to Josh Simmons? No questions asked. He's just taking all the reps at one. I don't really know how the Chiefs handle that situation, to be completely honest with you guys. Let me play one more cut for you guys. We are expecting Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW to join us here coming up in just a bit. Here is Nate Taylor talking about Omar Norman Lott. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Here's Nate Taylor.
Love Derek Nnadi. It's a wrap. And I know the Chiefs are trying to do the right thing of like balancing. This guy's a veteran. He knows the defense in and out, been in all the big game situations. Derek Nnadi is a reason why the Chiefs have a dynasty, right? Because he has been helpful in postseason runs, particularly at stopping the run. But at his age, given the amount of injuries he's had, the fact that he is ranked 119th out of 119th, the Lions basically said, you. Every run's going to be towards you and away from Chris Jones. And whether, you know,
when they got into a passing situation, Chris Jones and Minnehue and those guys got to do a little work.
Yes. And yeah. So it's time, because we're six games into the season, it's time for them to give Omar Norman Lott the full go. Like, no more of this, like, half-measured, rotational, blah, blah, blah. Like, play the young guy.
That was Nate Taylor on the midday show earlier talking about Omar Norman Lott. You know what? We got a little bit of time as we wait for Powerhouse Hobbs. I'll play one more talking about Charles Amenihu. The defensive line has been a major talking point in the first half of the season. Here is Nate talking about Charles Amenihu and him being a player who traditionally turns things on in the second half of the season.
Charles Amenihu has played his best football, and this isn't just like with the Chiefs. This is also the case with the 49ers. The team he was previously with before he joined the Chiefs. He kind of is a second half of the season player. Even when he's had the ability to play a full season, he's not started seasons off well. It's something I'm actually fascinated to talk to him about. Like, you know, why do you play better in like November, December, January, whether you have an injury, a suspension or not? So again, that's a positive sign.
That was Nate Taylor of ESPN joining us on the show earlier today. He actually was on the midday show, joining us on the midday show to talk about the defensive line. The defensive line has played really well these last couple of weeks. I think you got to give the Chiefs a lot of credit for how their defensive line performed a couple of days ago against the Detroit Lions. That is a team that has one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League, a team that can run it as well as any team in the National Football League. And the Chiefs really controlled that game, really controlled things up front. And the run game was just never really a problem in that game. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs had 17 carries for 65 yards. David Montgomery only got 4 carries in the game. All in all, the Lions ran the ball 23 times for 98 yards in the game, didn't score a rushing touchdown. So you just really controlled the fight for the most part when it came to the Lions and how you handled things and controlled things and dominated up front, where the Chiefs in this, I mean, they were the team that ran the football effectively. 29 carries for 121 yards and a touchdown. Now, 10 of those carries came from Patrick Mahomes, but the point goes on. They gave 18 carries to Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. They were effective when it came to the run. Xavier Worthy got involved in the run game as well. So you had that going on for you as well when it came to the run game. And the Chiefs just really controlled the offensive line in the game. Right now, we're about to be joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. He's joining us in studio right now. He's got a big belt. I assume you were like the heavyweight champion. You're like the big dog when it comes to this thing.
One-third of the trio's champions, you know.
Oh, man. Happy to have you join us, man.
I feel like we should sing some Jodeci or something, bro.
Happy to have you in studio, man.
I appreciate it.
When did you guys get to Kansas City, man? How long have you been here?
Man, I got in this morning. So I was supposed to get in last night, going from San Francisco to Salt Lake and Salt Lake here. Didn't happen. So I took a red eye from Frisco to Atlanta, and Atlanta here this morning.
So they had a busy schedule these last 24 hours, man.
It's part of the game. I love it. Can't complain.
Absolutely, man. We're happy to be joined in studio right now by...
I'm going
to
slide this to you and go ahead.
Okay. I've never actually held one of these real belts.
Go ahead and...
This thing is heavy.
Put that up on your shoulder, you know.
All right. Hold on. Let me hold this. This is official, man.
I saw your tweet. You said, you know, I'm going to let my man rock the belt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We're happy to be joined by Powerhouse Hobbs here. So I'm actually currently watching The Wrestlers on Netflix before. Okay. I never seen it before. Just tell us a little bit more about your upbringing, just your road to get here. Like, I'm sitting here watching it, and folks are wrestling in front of 200 people at a car lot. And now to get to where you are, there's thousands of people that want to be
in. I wrestled in front of 5 people at a flea market one time.
You win?
No. This is where I was starting out.
One of those things. You wrestle in front of 5 people, and you got to lose the match.
But it's paying your dues, man. Like, I grew up in a 2-square-mile city. In the Bay Area in California, East Palo Alto. So East Palo Alto used to be the former murder capital of the United States. I'm talking about like it's, you can look up the history of it online. You can look up YouTube videos. Very dangerous city. Then bounce back and forth between there and Oakland, California. So my grandparents moved from Mississippi, I think it was 62 or 63, moved right across the street from the Cow Palace. So that's the mecca of the West Coast. So they watched Pat Patterson, Ray Stevens, High Chief Peter Mavia, Soul Man Rocky Johnson, Pepper Gomez, Kenji Shibuya. Like, wrestling was already on in my household before I was even thought about. So then grew up watching it, knew at a very young age, 3-4 years old, I wanted to do it.
You started wrestling here. I'm looking at your bio. You started wrestling at 18 years old. You had to have known at a very young age,
man,
this is what you wanted to do.
Man, we used to have battle royals on my big mama's big country 6-foot-tall mattress.
Who are you pretending to be? Because we had this topic a couple of weeks ago that I like, people always talk about like the man card and stuff. There's two things I judge you for. I'm taking your man card away. Like, if you and I are at the tailgate and I throw you the football and you can't throw the football back to me, I got to question your childhood. I got to question, like, you wasn't outside. Or if you don't have a favorite wrestler. Like, so, if you didn't have a favorite wrestler growing up in the Attitude Era, what were you doing at 11, 12 years old?
It was, so for me, I'm the youngest of siblings, cousins.
They were putting a lot of finishing moves
on
you.
Yeah, so I had to be whoever I was told to a certain age. But I remember my grandma bought me this black robe, had a red belt. My sister bedazzled it up. You know, I had to be Ravishing Rick Rude. You know, there's times I, you know, took my grandma's roller and curled my front of my hair. I was Razor Ramon, you know. So I wore my grandpa's 3-piece suit vest. I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know. So wearing electrical tape around my arms, you know. I'm Ron Simmons, you know, Farouk. So it all depends, man. We wrote our own cards out, you know, growing up. Had the neighbors come over. We're in the backyard taking my grandpa's brand new sheetrock, you know, his tables. 3D and through the tables, body slams, all that stuff, man. So we used to put on shows.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. He is with AEW. They're going to be in town tomorrow for AEW Dynamite and Collision. It's coming to Cable Dahmer Arena tomorrow, Wednesday, October 15th. You can watch it on TBS. You also can stream it on HBO Max.
Yes, yes.
When you were 12 years old, what was your favorite finishing move?
Rock bottom, Stone Cold Stunner, believe it or not, figure four. Spinebuster was the one. You know, that was always my go-to, as you can tell now. So it depends who we were, man. Like, a whole neighborhood will be having battle royals. So, you know, it was wild growing up.
What I always just love about either the Stone Cold Stunner or the Rock Bottom is it just would always, like, randomly come out of nowhere. Dude, like, Stone Cold would be losing the whole match, and all of a sudden, bam, that kick to the stomach. Yeah. Like, oh, my goodness, yeah. How'd you do this?
Yeah, you know, that's what I try to do with the Spinebuster. Try to hit it out of anywhere. So,
right now, we're joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. We're going to do a little Ask Us Anything here coming up in just a little bit. You joined AEW in 2020. What was it like to join in the middle of COVID?
Frightening, because I just got laid off from my job. My daughter was, shoot, couple months old. So it was like I couldn't get hired anywhere. Like I applied at fast food spots, and they were like, nah. And, you know, it was because I was overqualified from what I was told. But, man, I got a call, and QT Marshall actually texted me, and I didn't respond back for maybe like 3-4 hours. So I thought somebody was ribbing me. And I had a, you know, text from Cody Rhodes, you know. Then I was just like, I got to bet on myself at this point. So, you know, the story is already out there, man. It took off. You know, I had a debut match against Orange Cassidy. Then my second match was a 6-man against the Dark Order. And then week after week, I started showing up on Dark. And then, you know, Tony gave me that okay, gave me that head nod, that opportunity, you know, which we all want in wrestling. You know, you want that opportunity to prove yourself. And he saw something in me, and the rest is history. TNT champ. 1/3 of the Trios tag team champions, you know. So I can't complain, man.
This is my belt now.
Do you have your man, own? Like, you D-balling it right now, man.
I'm just asking, like, you brought me the belt here. I didn't know you had your own. Like, you said, it's 1/3. That means there's two of them out there.
Hey, well, you know, Joe and Shibata got the other two. But, you know, just winning the Face of the Revolution ladder match, you know, and in my backyard at the Cow Palace, like, that meant the world. And then, you know, facing Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship, you know, that meant a lot. So I've been on some big stages, had some great moments with this company, and I, you know, I just think there's nobody like me in this company, in this business. I set myself apart from everyone else.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Powerhouse Hobbs. We're going to have him answer some questions here coming up on the side. We'll get back to football coming up at the top of the hour. If you got a question, text it in, 913-586-7965. Dynamite and Collision, AEW. It is at Cable Dahmer Arena tomorrow night at Silverstein Eye Center Arena. You can catch it on TBS and stream it on HBO Max. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. We'll get back to the NFL coming up in a little bit. The University of Texas El Paso did a study, and they have concluded that since 2015, the league has been rigged for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that here coming up in just a bit. We got Powerhouse Hobbs of AEW. Yeah. I am now a trio champion.
You are officially an honorary member okay. of the Ops.
Okay, I was going to ask you who else was champion. In our group.
I'm vouching
me,
for you.
Who else do we got?
We got Samoa Joe and we got Shibata.
I don't want to be an op, though. I mean, what I know, I mean, you don't want to be the ops.
No, we the good ops.
Okay,
we
all
the
right.
good ops.
I definitely don't want to be the ops.
We do damage out there. We the good ops.
All right, so what we do now, we call it Ask Us Anything, where we let people ask us questions in rapid fire. You and I were talking during the break. You said you're hungry. You were talking about going to Chipotle. Come on now. How you gonna come to my hometown and you gonna disrespect and say, where's the closest Chipotle?
I gotta stay healthy, bro, you know.
I can't let you do this. Gates Barbecue. Now, I'm gonna tell you this. They're gonna yell at you when you walk in there. There's going to be a nice, kinder, older black woman. She's going to yell at you, "Hi, may I help you?" Now, I don't want you to be startled.
She may not try
this.
To grab on my muscles.
No, I don't think she's going to try to do that. I don't think Miss Shirley is going to try to do that. So what I want you to do is I just want you to say, "Mixed plate to go." That's all you got to say. Say, "Mixed plate to go, please." Just say it quick and you'll be good. That's all you got to do.
What's on this mixed plate?
Ribs, and you get a half pound of two different kind of meat. So if you want a little ham, you want a little turkey, you want a little brisket, you okay. can even swap it out if you want to do that. Go ahead and get the mixed plate.
What's my sides?
Fries. Now, you can get your own sides there. I just get the fries. It comes with the okay. fries. You got to dip the fries in the sauce. I always get a strawberry pop. You don't seem like you drink a lot of pop. Maybe you get a bottle of water.
I thought I was the only one to say pop.
Oh, I definitely say
for
pop.
For sure, for sure.
All right. Text line 913-586-7965. People want to know if you are an NFL fan. Do you have a favorite football team?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm a big NFL fan. Growing up, obviously Niners fan. But, you know, last 5 years, I've been a Jags fan, baby.
You
that Jags Chiefs game, man, that was, man, I got goosebumps. That was a good game.
Who was your favorite Niner growing up?
Primetime, baby.
Okay, that's a good
Prime one. Primetime, man. You know, he's the reason why I used to, when I played Pop Warner, I wore my big mama's scarf under my helmet, you know. And I'm telling you, on my playlist, I kid you not, man, Must Be the Money is on my playlist.
That's a great song.
It is.
How'd you pick your intro song?
So Mikey Ruckus came up with it, you know, who does a lot of a lot of talent's entrance music. And, you know, I love Unsolved Mysteries. So if you pay attention to my theme, that dun 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 dun, sounds like Unsolved Mysteries. And everywhere I go, I kid you not, every week there's always somebody going powerhouse, whether I'm walking the street or in an arena, or if I, you know, yell at one of my kids, especially my daughter, she'll turn around and go powerhouse and go in her room. And I love it, man. I think one of my entrance song is unique.
Who was your favorite entrance song when you were a kid? Because there was something about that glass breaking.
That
was always a big deal.
When I was pissed off, I would always do that Stone Cold song in my head.
Shawn Michaels has a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. Razor Ramon was hitting. That NWO Wolfpack was hitting.
So. You know, I'm afraid to tell you this, but...
Harlem Heat, too. Harlem Heat.
The Harlem Heat was a good one. I went through a stretch. I'm really scared to see my end of the year. I listened to John Cena's intro for about a week. That was like the only thing. I don't know. It was so catchy to me. No, I just really thought it was good.
My older son was into that, so I heard a lot of that. Cena can flow.
The text line 913-586-7965. We got Powerhouse Hobbs in here for a couple more minutes. We're asking him We're asking him some random questions. How did you come up with your finishing move?
It was something I was doing as a child. Like I love Arn Anderson, and the Spine Buster was devastating. I think it's used a lot, and it should be a finisher, just like the DDT, like when Jake Snake Roberts did it. Wasn't no getting up. When Arn hit that Spine Buster back in the day, wasn't no getting up. So that the way I do it now has a little pizzazz, a little pop on it, a little intensity on it. So that's why it's my finisher.
What is a key that people wouldn't think to being a really good wrestler? Because it feels like you have to be really solid at a lot of things. Like, you got to be able to cut a promo. You got to be able to sell. You got to be able to do these things. Like, what's like an underrated characteristic that you need to be a good wrestler?
You got to connect with the audience. That's the biggest thing. If you don't connect with them, they're not going to feel that emotion. Wrestling is about emotion, getting that emotion from people. You know, there's something, I don't know if you've seen when Jon Moxley hit me from behind in the back with a chair, and I do this slow turnaround, this lip goes up. People feel that. And what happens after that is they start a "you effed up" chant. Or I'm in the ring and I got the guy in the corner and I lift his right arm up. They know that this big meat hook is coming, and they're chanting "meat, meat, meat, meat." You come to the show tomorrow, right? You I'm gonna have to show out.
I don't know if I'm chanting "meat." I gotta throw the challenge flag
on
that.
Look, you gonna have a lot of people around. You like, hey, you gonna
everybody
have to.
Everybody else gonna be chanting. Why are they doing this?
Right. So when I throw this meat hook, man, it's there. You got to connect with the audience. You know, you can do the fanciest moves, but if you don't have no connection behind it, I personally think it doesn't mean anything.
Someone on the text line wants to know, what's it like to work with Sting?
A dream come true. Phenomenal. I was Sting's last match in Jacksonville, Florida, before his retirement match. And, you know, he hit me with that Scorpion Death Drop off the little the balcony we had, and went through two tables. Like, that's crazy. Like, I got to work Sting. I was Sting 1 year for Halloween. Had my grandma's wig on, had her leather trench coat, you know, and then, like, I'm working with somebody who's trusting me, and it's his second to last match. Like that says a lot right there.
Which one's like, I guess, more painful to deal with? Is when they throw you through the table or somebody hits you with the chair? Neither one of them seem very fun.
No, I mean, I mean, you can look it up on YouTube. I get hit with a chair. It don't faze me. You know, I haven't been through too many tables, you know, but
it doesn't phase you. Like, dude, that's something you have to like practice. Like,
look, you see my back. Have you seen how big my back is?
Have you seen what chairs look like? Yeah. Somebody just picks up the chair. And you just eat the chair.
Yeah, it doesn't faze me. I get hit in the back with the chair and I turn around and
I'd be out with workman's comp if I got hit with a chair.
You know,
right
not everybody can be big, black and jack. You know what I'm saying? So it's
someone wants to know, what's your favorite kind of match?
Now that I've been in one, the Anarchy in the Arena. I don't know if you saw that.
I haven't, no.
So it was a wild. You got HBO Max?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well you gotta look up Double or Nothing, baby, because that was our pay per view in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was chaos everywhere around the arena. Like, it was just action everywhere.
Who are you fighting tomorrow when I come out to the event?
Like, oh, so we are defending our trios titles against.
So you're fighting a tag team match.
The LFI trios, okay. Three on three.
Okay,
three versus three. So we putting the gold on the line, and you know, Hangman Adam Page is defending his world title this Saturday at Wrestle Dream against 1/3 of the trios champs, my partner Samoa Joe. He's actually going to be ringside commentary, and then you know you got John Moxley and Darby Allin, who's going to be face to face, and they're having an I Quit match this Saturday. So this is the go home show, man. So it's a lot of action.
For sure. That is Powerhouse Hobbs joining us in studio. He is wrestling tomorrow at Cable Donner Arena.
Man, you got to put that belt up on your shoulder, bro.
I
don't know about all that.
You said I was an honorary member.
That means you get to hold it here. You getting me warmed up talking about you going to take my belt. Now.
Yeah, this is like whenever like rappers give other rappers their chain. You gave me your championship belt.
Usually they take it. You know, but you know what I'm saying? You know. You got to put up on your shoulder, man. You know, walk around here and, you know, let people know.
I might hit somebody with it and see how it works.
Go ahead.
I've been waiting to hit Rob. That's Powerhouse Hobbs joining us. Catch him tomorrow at Cable Donner Arena, AEW Dynamite and Collision. This is their last show before their pay-per-view, which is going to be in St. Louis on Saturday. Man, really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, man.
Good luck to you, man. Excited to come out to the event tomorrow. Coming up on the other side, there is a study that says the league is rigged for the Chiefs. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.